So Mayor, this guy, one guy says, Azer Gadol, the claimant, the plaintiff says, I gave you a big belt as a pikadon or something of that sort. The other guy says, I only have a small belt, right? Now, yesterday we talked about a menorah shochlius, a menorah which can be extended by adding sections to it. So we said by a menorah, a small menorah, which is part of a large menorah, could be considered by the mikzah since it's minatayna, since you could just add sections to make it the bigger menorah. But a belt, you can't make a belt bigger. They don't become bigger by adding on sections, right? Unless it's some unique kind of belt. So therefore, what's the moed of a mikzah over here? Tara Bechia, so says tomorrow, Rabbi Chia indeed said something about this case. V'loedin ma'ahatani, we don't know what he said. And the Gemara says, you know, one of the reasons I don't know what he says is because we have no clue how to learn this. You're going to say that in this case it's chayavishvur because it's moed b'miktas. Masisa pliga. Our mission seems sorry. None. It says aim nishboin el dovashir mitav mishkol minyan. We think it's for something which can be, which is measured, which is weighed, and which is counted. And obviously, it's a portion of the measure, the weight, or the count of the larger one. And that does not apply to the belt, again, because the belt, the smaller belt, cannot be a part of a large belt. If, on the other hand, you say he's exempt from a shvur, then that's difficult because masnisa pliga, the brisa are not here, or the Mishnah, rather, not here, but in Bava Metzia argues. Because Mishnah Bava Metzia says that Zelmer got up Zelmer Kotten. This is almost a reverse case, but it's a similar case. The story about sale of slaves, and the buyer says, I bought a big slave, and the seller says, no, I only sold you a small slave. Now normally there's no shvuah on avadim, so the Pnei Moshe explains here that even though there's no shvuah on avadim, here the shvuah is on the clothes which were sold together with the slave, and the clothes of course are metal, and there's a shvuah on that. So therefore the seller says, I sold you this smaller slave with this clothes. And the buyer says, I bought the larger slave with this clothes. So in that case it says, Yishava ha-moicha shakotan mochar. That's moed b'miktas, right? Because there we do say that the buyer, the seller, has to swear that he sold the smaller one. Again, it seems like it's backwards, but it's really, the case is straightforward. The claimant is the buyer. The defendant is the seller. The seller has to take a shvuah that he only sold the smaller slave with his accompanying clothes, not the larger slave. Okay? So in any event, the difficulty is that there it sounds like, even though we're talking about clothing, and obviously clothing is not made sectionally, nevertheless, it sounds like there is a moed b'miktas. So Rechia said here, your potter, l'chor, we have a question from there, it's chayav. If they say in either of these cases, they don't know what was sold and what was bought, then your chloka, they divide it up. But the mitzvah, we don't know how to pass on this case of large belt or small belt, is considered to be moed b'miktas, and is it not? And we don't have any Rabbi Chia with this price. We don't have recorded what Rabbi Chia said about the issue. And regardless of what he said, it would have been difficult on him from a source, either our Mishnah over here or the Mishnah above Metzia. Okay, about whether it's Moed B'Miktas or not. Okay? Says the Mishnah for that. Malvus Chavei El Mashkon. You loan your friend money on a Mashkon, on a collateral. Vayona Mashkon, the collateral gets lost. It's gone. So now the cases are a little bit convoluted. Okay, so you have to house cup here. You have to pay attention really well. Not that you don't always pay attention really well, but here it's important. The lender says, "Sela yuvisi chalav. I loaned you $1 on the collateral." The shekel of shava and the collateral itself is worth $0.50. So how much? What's the difference? 50 cents, right? The loan was $1, and the collateral was $0.50. Valo mer, the borrower says, the borrower says, sela hilvisini olav. No, you loan me $1. The Sela Yoshava and the Mashkon was worth $1. Now, why are we talking about in the past tense? Because it's lost now. It's lost. Okay? So now, according to the Malveh, even though he lost the Mashkon, the Levi still owes him 50 cents. According to the Loivet, he's off the hook because the mashka which you gave was worth a dollar, and now it's lost. Okay, so in this case, potter. The Loivet doesn't have to pay anything. He's exempt. He doesn't have to pay anything. No, it's kafir hakol. He denies he owes him a thing. He denies he owes him a thing at the moment. He doesn't owe him a thing because it was the mashka was a dollar. Okay. Says him or now, what's the case of Moedim? It makes us, right? A case like that. Sell ABC Cholov. I loaned you a dollar, and if the shekel yashav was worth 50 cents. So you still owe me 50 cents. But Loki Omer, the borrower says, Loki Elo Selvi said, I love you, loan me a dollar. Vishloshin Rai Meir Yashav, but it was worth 75 cents. So now I owe you a quarter. So that's Moedim. It makes us. The guy claims he owes him still 50 cents. He concedes he owes a quarter. That's Moedim. It makes us. Okay, so in that case, obviously, Gemara says, Chayef, Misha says he's liable. So, let me see, now, important to note, actually, before you go on, the Pnei Moshe notes is going to cut him up in the Gemara, that the Malva also has to take a shvua here, because the Malva lost the object. It was a Shomer Pikadon, right? It was a Nifkat, so he has to take a shvua that he didn't lose, that he Taka lost it. He didn't steal it, or you know, was not poshea and negligent, and so on and so forth. So that's so the malva has to take a shvua as well. Okay. So, but once the malva takes a shvua, then the loiva takes the more severe shvua, the shvua the raisa moedim miktas. Says more vaiter, the mishnah vaiter. Shomer sachar actually. So he's potter on onus, not potter chayav and neva veda. You owe me a dollar on the mashkon. The mashkon was worth two. Okay, so now we've turned the tables. Who now becomes actually the claimant? The borrower. Because the borrower claiming I gave you a mashkon, which was worth more than the loan, right? So you don't have to pay me back. You have to pay me back a dollar. Valomer, the other guy says, Loki el selavisicha a love. I loaned you a dollar. And the mask was worth a dollar. Potter, so the malva here is potter, because he's not moid at all. He's not moid in any obligation. The loiva says, you loan me a dollar on it. It was worth $2. The lender says, I loaned you a dollar. Olav, the chamisha dino yashave, and the object is worth $1.25. Chai, in this case, is moed miktas, because he concedes they owes him at least 25 cents, right? At least 25 cents he has given back. So he's moed miktas on the claim of a dollar. Now, miu nishba, who takes the oath? And the name Moshe says, who takes the oath first? Because obviously, as you mentioned before, they both have to take the oath. Who takes the oath first? Misha Pikonetz, whoever had the mashkon last, he takes the which is usually the malva, he takes the shvua first. Shemei Shavazeh, why? Because otherwise we're afraid that maybe the other guy will take the shvua. The Yotzi Allah es Pikdono, and the other guy, in other words, the Leiva, takes the shvua and says, well, it was worth XYZ. So then the malva might pull out his back and say, no, it's not, you liar, here it is, it's only worth ABC. Okay, so you make the malva take the shvua first, so he doesn't have it in his domain. Rabbi Yochanan said, "Neman malva loymar," an axiom. The creditor is believed to say, "Ad kidei mashka v'zicha," up to the value of the collateral I loaned you. In other words, whatever sum he says, up to the value of the collateral, he's considered to be believed on that. It's kind of like amigo, right? So he's holding on to the mashkon, so therefore he can claim up to the value of the mashkon. Says the Gemara Masisa Amra. Our Mishnah says, it tells us, even the borrower is believed. Well, where do we see the borrower is believed? Well, the Tiyat says, Sali v'sicholav, I loaned you, the Malva says, I loaned you a dollar. But Shekel Yashav and the collateral was only worth 50 cents. Shekel Yashav. Hello, man. The other guy says, okay, Sali v'sicholav, you loan me a dollar. Bisela Hayashavan is worth a dollar. Potter. He's exempt. Why is he exempt? It must be because we give him credibility when he claims that it was worth a dollar. Okay? Now, says the Gemara, Chabar Nash Kami Chavrei. A certain individual came to court with his friend. Bishuka, not the court. Came Kami Chavrei Bishuka. He came to the marketplace with his friend. Armalay, so he said, Train Dini in Libi Adach. You owe me $2. Ushkashkmashkonach, Shaka Shabe Train Dinar, and your mashkos were $2 as well. Armalay said, Chad Dinor, on a boy Mason, the boy Masonach. I only owe you $1, I don't owe you $2. Umashkoni Shave Train Dinar, my mashkon is worth $2. So the question is, do we cancel out the loan for the mashkon as the malva wants to do, the creditor? Or do we say no? He's got to pay back the difference between the mashkon and the value of the debt. The creditor's got to pay that back. So as he's indicated previously. So says the Gemara. Again, Amalei Train Dinarim Libi Adach. You owe me $2. Moshkanach Shavei Tarte Dinarim, and your mashko, which is man, is worth $2 as well. Amalei, so he retorted, Chad Dinar Arna Boy Mason Locha. I only have to give you one dinar. Moshkani Tav Train to Dinar. My mashko which you gave is worth $2. So asked the Kumir Dayan in Ardo. So the case came from the Dayan in Ardo. Amalei said, Came to call a mighty the mashkon a top train. That everybody agrees that the mashkon is good for train dinogin. For two bucks, I guess that was the mashkon. Dinogin achrona yesu avisadi. We'll accept the parameters that, and for the rest of it, we'll look for witnesses in order to tell us what exactly was going on. So it says the Gemara, or actually, not the rest of it. The maximum is $2. Okay. I forgot about the next line in the Gemara. Next line in the Gemara says, V'lo shama demar b'yoch ha'nemana ma'ava k'dei mashkono. That's what's throwing me off. According to Rabbi Yochanan, he's believed to say he's owed $2. Because Rabbi Yochanan says, you're given, remember that was the way for Rabbi Yochanan began the Gemara. You have, it's axiomatic, the lenders always believed up to the value of the mashko. You know, what's the value of the mashko? $2. So here it says, that in this price, in the Maimon of the Gemara before it said, he's got to bring, he's believed on the dollar. The Malva's believed in that which Leivik concedes, that he owes $1. On the second dollar, he's got to bring witnesses, right, that he's owed the second dollar. And that argument's Rabbi Yochanan, because Kern Rabbi Yochanan, he's holding on to a mashko, which is worth $2, he's believed to claim up to $2. He doesn't have to bring witnesses on it. He only has to bring witnesses on anything above $2, not up to $2. Okay, so that argument's Rabbi Yochanan. No? Okay, so Machlok is between this statement, which holds that he needs credibility on any demand over what the lawyer concedes, and Rabbi Yochanan says he has credibility up to the value of the mashko which he's holding. Okay, so says the Gemara, Chad bar v'lo shema demar Rabbi Yochanan neman amal v'kdei mashko. Obviously, whoever made the statement, this in the case of the Dayani Nardo, The Amnado did not hear the Rabbi Yochan said that the Malvas believed up to the value of the Mashke which is holding. So Chai Barnash, another individual, Kai Chavrei Beshuka, he was with his friend in the marketplace. Varim Savtani, and he picked up his friend's garment, or there's another gear, so his knife, and he wouldn't give it back. Normally, so he said, Chodein Stina, the sheet, Novik Min Leisodein, says Stina, Novik Min Yodi, this sheet is not leaving my hands, Atatitinli, until you pay me the islech lisli biyadach, what you have for mine in your hands. In other words, I'm not giving you back your sheet until you pay me. Obviously, it was not a bed sheet. It was like a toga, a tunic, you know, one of those things. So he said, I'm not giving back to you until you pay me. So it says, Asa kami Shmuel. It came from Shmuel, this case. So Amalei said, obviously, you have to give him back his sheet or his knife, whatever it was. Bezil doni mei, and then you'll come to court. In other words, give it back to first, and then we'll come to court afterwards. Now, I want to say an amazing thing. It's an amazing court. It really makes no sense. So it's Ma Shmuel k'dayon inardo, Shmuel k'dayon inardo. The dayon inardo said there is no automatic credibility, but here the guy should have automatic credibility because he's holding on to the sheet, so he should be allowed to claim up to the value of the sheet. Make sense? I come and I grab this beautiful Pulse Ambulance sweatshirt off Dr. Spindel's torso. And I say, you're not getting it back until you give me the $5 that you owe me. Let's say it's worth $5. Question that. But let's say it's worth $5. Okay? So then, so Shmuel said, no, I have to give you back the jacket first, the windbreaker first, and then afterwards we can talk about how much you owe me. So Gemara says, the Kash and Rabbi Yochanan, because according to Rabbi Yochanan, once I'm holding on to the windbreaker, I should have automatic credibility up to the value of the windbreaker, which is $5.
Yeah, but you took it without
my permission. Ah! You guys are such good, brilliant, big people. Omar, he said,
but didn't we have
in the
Gemara,
you
didn't we have said that you're allowed to go grab Basin didn't allow it here.
He went vigilante justice. Omer, so he said, Taman huchsaka mashka biyodo. There, where the mashka, where it's holding out to the mashka legitimately, he can claim it up to the value of the mashka. Hochel huchsaka mashka biyodo. Here, wasn't holding out to the mashka legitimately. Okay? See? Isn't that Gevaldik a Teretz? Shmuel Mashmuel said, Shena Shvua Zatza mi benem. This is actually going back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that, we asked who takes the Shua first. So Shmuel says, I'm learning this on Shet HaRisrael, the Rishbaz and Moshe both learn it differently, but what he means is that, you know, the Shua never moves. You always have to have a Shua. And sometimes, if the Malva can't take the Shua, then the Leiva takes the Shua. If the Leiva can't take the Shua, then the Malva takes the Shua. Whoever's supposed to take the Shua first, if he has to, skip it. You have to skip because he's questionable or he's suspect on shvuas and things like that. Then we're mahapik the shvu. We make the other guy take the shvu instead. Okay? So this shvu is always there. There's no way you ever forego a shvu. Shvu must always be taken. Okay? So as the shvu says, she'er shvu says even the shvu is always among the two of them. It never moves from among the two of them. Im yishova malveh. If the malva can, if the creditor can take the oath, raise an ishbav naito. He takes the oath and he takes his money. Being yishav aloyve, if the borrower takes the oath, moti aloas api kodan, he gets back the object he took as a mashkor. But no matter what, somebody's got to take the oath, and whoever takes it, he gets the advantage thereof. New anishba. However, generally speaking, as our mishnah said, who takes the oath? Me and misha pikona, so the person who's holding on to the object. Rav Reish Lakish, Rav Reish Lakish, both said, Arme Al Reisha, they said concerning the first case in the Mishnah. It's actually, it's the end of the first case, I think. Sele Elusini Olav, you loan me a dollar on the Mashkon. Ushtai Me Shavah, but the Mashkon was worth $2. The seller says, Loki El Sele Elusicha, the creditor says, I only loaned you a sella. That's true. The sella yoshava, but the mashka itself is only worth a pruta, So it's only worth one seller, potter. So he's exempt from paying back. Sign more what I thought that more I was trying to say, and they shot their over me. I'm not sure. Let me go back a minute. Rav Eish Lakish both said Al Resha, that when it says I'm still not sure what I wrote here. Let me try it again. I don't know. Rav Eish Lakish both said Amri Al Resha. They said in the first case in the Mishnah, Sell if you see your love, you loan me a dollar on the mashkon, Ushtaima Yeshava is worth $2. But loan me, the other guy says, Okay, I'll sell if you see Chavisela Yeshava. It was worth a dollar, I loaned you a dollar and it was worth a dollar. Potter, he's exempt. The Malva is exempt from paying back, even though the other guy claims that the mashkon was worth more than the loan. So what's the chiddush here? Rav and Reish Lakish are both telling us that although
that's not really the case in the Reish.
No, it's the same for the Reish. It's the second case in the Reish. I totally forgot when I tried to say this. I can't even understand what I wrote here. One second. Got it.
Okay.
This is the case. A case like this. What the Rav Mishlo is trying to tell us like this. When it says Migu Anishva Misha Bikon Etzlo, Rav Mishlo is trying to tell us that line, who takes the shvu, the guy who's holding out to Mashmo, that applies even if there is no shvuos moed b'miktsas. But for example, in this case, the Lova says, I borrowed from you a dollar, but the Mashmo was worth $2. The Malva says no, the mashal is worth a dollar. So he's a kofer hakol, right? Because he says I don't owe you any money right now, whereas the loiva says you owe me a dollar, right? So in that case, he doesn't take his own personal shvua moed b'miktsas. He wasn't moed b'miktsas, but he does take the shvua mishap b'kodan etzlo. He has to take the shvua that he doesn't possess the mashkon anymore. That's what I said. The Misha Pigumil Nishma Misha Pikon Etzel goes even on the case of Moedim Mitzvah doesn't apply. Because the Mahav was tantamount to denying everything. Nevertheless, the Shvuah that he's not holding onto the Mashko, that he must take regardless. Okay? That's what it means. That's two in the Manchvuah. That's all Rav and Rachel is trying to do. Alright? Now, concerning the continuing Viter in this vein. Right, that's what I'm trying to say. The potter means you're potter from Moedim and Miktsas, but you're chayiv and the Shvuah, so you're not holding on to the Bikadim. That's what they're trying to say. Okay? So the Seli of the Sini Olav, now it should be Mushnaim Ayoshaveh. There's a new case. Case not in our Mishnah. The case is like this. The seller loaned me. Okay, the borrower says you loan me a dollar, and shnayim yoshave, and it was worth $2. The borrower says you loan me a dollar, and the mashkel was worth $2. So he's demanding, right? He wants a dollar back because the mashkel was worth more than the loan. So if Allah Omer, instead of a chuli, that's what it should be. The loiva says, you owe me a dollar, the marshals were $2, you owe me now a dollar. V'Allah Omer, the lender says, any of that, I don't know how much it was worth. I don't know how much it was worth. So Rav Bob Hashem, Rav Hunim Hashem, Rav Amri, they said, Ant lace yoda, a hand yoda. You don't know, but the Leivid knows, so therefore you have to go by what he says, right? You don't know, but he knows, so it's your tough luck. And therefore you have to pay him the dollar. Okay? Now that's the way, the conventional way of learning it. The way actually the Or Sameach learns it, he learns it differently. He says that it's as if it says, it's, instead of saying aunt, he changes the verse into ana. And he, ana leis yoda, ahen yoda, he reads it like this. Ana leis yoda, ahen yoda. The malve, this is the part, not this part of the malve's defense. So it was the conventional way of learning this, that this is the loves offense, and it works. Okay, the Mahava doesn't know, but the Lover knows, so we have to go by the word of the Lover.
Yeah,
but the Snaf says the exact opposite. Says what it means is, I the Mahava don't know. This is the Mahava's defense that says, I don't know. I ain't Yoda, you know. Meaning, who had the match going last? The Mahava. That's the Mahava. What you just said is the conventional way of learning. The Lover says, I had it, it's mine, so I know how much it works. The Mursameh says, Punk Fakir, this line the Malva says, I had it last, I don't know how much it's worth. You know how much it's worth for a chutzpah, you have no idea. So you see how they learn the line exactly the opposite. Now, based on that, you learn the next line opposite. Rabbi Shur the Rumia, Boa Kumi Rabbi Yoni, Esper and Rabbi Yoina. Tamanatomer, over there you say, Leisat Yoda, Ahen Yoda. This is a case of, actually, it should be the word leisat yoda, ahen yoda, potter. This is talking about a case of, I demand from my friend $100. And he says, and the friend says, I don't know if I owe you $100. So what's that halacha there? What's the halacha there? No halacha is over there? I demand of you $100. And you say, I don't know. Bari v'shema. What are we passing by Bari v'shema? We're passing not Bari Alif. Need chasim motzu chaver alavaraya. Claims are not enough. So we pass. So that's the shaila. How come over there Bari v'shema la Bari Alif? But here we say Bari v'shema Bari Alif. You got to pay up. What's the difference? It is. Why is it two different cases? That's the question. Why is it two different cases? So says the Gemara, in that case he's potter. The Gautamar Achene, you say that here you say he's liable. So again, the conventional way of learning is like we just said a moment ago, right? The loiva has credibility. How come? So the way, the conventional way of learning, the next line is, Taman yesh chalos shivua. Taman, of course, means in the Ushami here. Here there's a shivua, right? The Malva has to take shivua and he cannot. Shivua's be gone. So therefore he loses. There's no chalos shivua. Thereby, the case of the Bar Metzia, there's no shivua to be taken. There's no shivua to be taken. So therefore, over there, he's potter, right? The guy who's shema doesn't have to know anything. The malva's got to take a shvua over here because it's a nifkat. Nifkat's got to take a shvua. There, the guy who's a shema, the defendant, doesn't have to take a shvua. What shvua does he have to take? He says, I don't know. Doesn't have to defend that, so therefore, he's off the hook. He doesn't have to pay. That's a conventional way of learning. The Or Sameach, though, learns differently. The Or Sameach learns that here, the reason why the way he learns like this, let me see if I can remember now. The way he learns like this, he learns chilu kipshuto here, and he says tamon, which means over here. Yesh chilul
shvua.
Yeah, he does. The way he learns is over here. There's a chilul shvua, meaning that the malve. Yeah, we don't allow the malve to swear. Why don't we allow the Mava to swear? Yeah, but that's not why. No. We don't allow the Lovet to swear. That's what it is. We don't allow the Lovet to swear over here. Why allow the Lovet to swear? Because if he swears, then the Malva produces the... He says, oh, I take an oath. My mashka is worth $2. Remember, we said before, if one guy can't take the oath, the other guy takes the oath. So the Malva can't take the oath over here, doesn't it, let's say. But the Lovet should take the oath, right? So we're afraid if the Lovet takes the oath, what's the Malva going to say afterwards? What's he going to do? He's going to produce it and say, gotcha, you said that this lousy pen is worth $2? You liar, you. That's a chilul shvuah. So here we don't allow the lovet to make a shvuah in order to collect, because we're afraid that the shvuah will be, desecrated by the malva, then proving the metzius to be the opposite. But over there, there's no such chashash, because there it's a straight claim and counterclaim. I claim $100, you say, I don't know, right? So there's no fear that there's something that's going to be produced. So therefore, the Bari guy can take a shvuah there and collect. That's what he's saying based on that case. So he's saying, again, according to conventional way of learning, the conventional learning is that there's tier shvuah, there's a chalosh shvuah. There's need for the malva to take a shvuah, since he can't take a shvuah, so therefore he loses. There's no need for the defendant to take a shvuah, so therefore he doesn't lose. There's no chalo shvuah, so therefore he doesn't have to pay up in the case of Bori B'Shema. The way the Bori Semech learns, it's the exact opposite. Over here, the Loewe would like to take a shvuah, but we don't let him take a shvuah because we're afraid that the shvuah will be nischal. So therefore he has no shvuah, he has no tool for collection, he doesn't collect. According to there, however, if the ledger creditor wants to take a shvuah and collect, he can do so because there's no way that we're afraid that something will be produced as evidence against him later on, and therefore he can take over the shvuah without afraid of fear of chilul, and therefore he takes a shvuah and does collect. Okay? So those are two different ways of learning this Gemara. All right. Kol nishpoyim shebetorah. Anybody takes a shvuah in the Torah, nishpoyim v'lo mashamim. Generally, they take an oath and they don't pay. In other words, shvuah is a tool the Torah gave to avoid payment. El nishpoyim nothing more the guys who take a shvuah and do pay and collect payment. Okay, who take when a shvuah? Basically, what they're saying, shvuah is usually a defensive tool. But there are times when shvuah is an offensive tool. Okay, when it's an offensive tool, el nishpoyim nothing. These are people who take a shvuah in order to collect, which to be on the, when they're on the offensive. I saw an employee, a nigsa, a person from whom an object was stolen, an actual person was damaged. Or a case where shekinegla chosher shvuah, a case where the other guy is suspect, the other guy to take a shvuah is suspect to make a shvuah sheker. Vachinvonia picasso, a storekeeper on his ledger, he takes an oath. Period. Now, so how does an employee take an oath? Don't realize they say, tenly slowly, give me my wages. She actually be all which you're holding on to. Whomer and the employer says, nasati, I paid already. Valomer, the employee says, Lonatati, I didn't get it. I raise an ishbay, takes an oath, benoitel, and he collects. Right, remember, it says, Achesha mitzah so doya, that's not enough to generate a chiv shvuah. Sometimes the chiv shvuah is when there's a little bit of a moidim and mitzahs. How does it make a little bit of moidim and mitzahs? How so? Achesha mitzah so doya. Armalos, it says, Tain l'schoye chamishim dinor. Give me the 50 bucks I own by you. Sheshu b'lat chavomer. Tiskabatamem dinor zav. He says, you got to raise 25 bucks. Oh, but he's moed to be mixas, because he's moed that he owes how much? 25. So moed to be mixas to raise that as a shvuah. Okay? Says my master, Shneem, I said, say shvuah, say shem, tiyem, et shneem. Shteit toch in posik. It says in posik, the shvuah got to be between the two of them. Between the mafkin and the nifkin, I want to say. I don't think that that's the case, though. What? Anyway, what are the shavuos in this week's parsha? It says, by which would be treated two of them. So, ain't on the Yodim, don't we know if that's the case? Sheim, take out the word lo, put the next line. Sheim yishava lo yishalim. Is it obvious that oath takes the place of paying? In other words, why have to tell me, call nishboim, nishboim ain't a mishalim. It says, in the proposal, shavuos Hashem tiyeh b'shem eich neimim lo shalach yodobim lechus reyu. Right, so that's the case. So the shvuah Hashem takes the place of payment, right? Why does it tell us? They have to tell us explicitly that the mass against the money or the oath and not the shvuah. In other words, the other way around. So it says, what it means is the following. It means it tells a tremendous chiddush. The way the Rebbe explains it, that once the Torah allowed somebody to take a shvuah, and he took a shvuah, or Karja to take a shvuah, he took a shvuah. What if Edom come against him later on? They didn't come and say, you lied when you took the shvuah. Doesn't matter. Shvuah stands. He took the shvuah stands. Okay? That means he's off the hook, whatever they charge him with. That's mean shvuah Hashem Tehye Ben Shneihem means it stands between the two of them. Even if the Edom come later on, the shvuah Hashem remains once it was taken. Repudiation even of witnesses. It's an amazing concept. I don't doubt the Bavli says such a thing, right? Because the being said, actually, there's a time which Shvuah becomes stronger than Edom. Seems like a logical impossibility. That's what Gemara is suggesting here. Yes?
Yeah.
Just like the Shvuah counterattacked the claim, it is a preventative measure against the witnesses coming.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know if that's the case. You think so? That we just bar them to testify? Maybe. Okay, could be. I'm willing to accept that. Anyway, be that as it may, now Rabbi Chagai, let's look in the bottom here. In the Gilead Ephraim, because the Gears is messed up in the next five lines. Says the Gemara, it should be instead of Rabbi Chagai right away, should have cut and paste from B later on. And the Kamech Kibu, see the Gilead Ephraim, and the Kamech Kibu, Bailim, Shvua, Upahu, Potter, Milashalim. Om Rabbi Yasser, Shem Rabbi Yechanan, Rabbi Yasser, and Rabbi Yechanan, Divi Rabbi Meir, according to Divrei Rabbi Meir, Koin Rabbi Meir, Miklau, Mimashma Lav, Atashomea Hain. From the negative, you hear the positive. Lokach Balav, Lo Yishalem. The bastard takes the oath and he doesn't pay. He doesn't get paid. Ha im Lo Yishava, but if the guy doesn't take an oath, then Yishalem has got to pay. Rabbi Chagai, boy, you call me Rabbi Yochanan. The Chagai in front of Rabbi Yochanan asked Rabbi Yochanan, but Lomli Kramir, why is this true only according to Meir? Even like Rabbanan, it's true. Dharma Yechina said, Hakom Moidim. Everybody concedes Belosh and Torah. That by the language of the Torah itself, you derive the opposite. From the negative, you derive the positive. Ma plihim, what's the machlokas? Belosh and Neodom. Machlokas only in language that people use. Rabbanan, Rabbanan, machlokas and Kedushin. By a tnai, if I make a condition, a stipulation in a get or any other document, do I have to put in both the positive and negative clause, or can the contract assume that from the negative you derive the positive and vice versa? So the mayor says you only have to write one side, and Rabbanan say you have to write both the love and the hate, both the positive clause and the flip negative clause. But that's only says that we're over there between two people. But by a Kodesh Baruch Hu, there's no such issue, right? So that's what it means. That even Kodesh Baruch Hu, if you took the Shvuah, you no longer have to pay, right? Because the Shvuah takes the place. Because it says, Shvuah Hashem Tiyem Hashem Lo Shalach Yidom Im Lech Esreyeyu. I'm sorry. That teaches us that if he doesn't take the oath, then he has to pay, right? Because as if he takes the oath, you don't have to pay. So this is right that if you don't take the oath, then you do have to pay. And that's true even according to Rabbanan. Because in the Torah itself, everybody agrees to infer positive and negative. It's only in contract law that you might have to stipulate both sides. But in Torah, everybody agrees that it's stipulated. Okay? Now, back to the more tiny Rabbi Chiya. It says in the middle of the page, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines to the bottom. Tiny Rabbi Chiya says, Masnes Shremer Chinam Liya B'Shemer Sach Liyos Kusher Oshol. Now the Ridbaz asks, he has no idea what this Gemara is doing here. It says here Shemer Chinam is allowed to make a stipulation with the Baal Bas that he, or Shemer Socher, that the level of nature of a Shemir will be downgraded. He won't be chayv like a Shemer Chinam, which is limited, but rather be chayv like the much more voluminous potentialities of the other Shemir to be chayv. Now, why is this brought down? And Shat Yisrael Tanker erases it. But it seems to me that this is a prelude to the subsequent Gemara, which actually we skipped three lines because the Shagil and Ephraim brought it down. But this Amr Rabbi Avin, Rabbi Avin said, Aidei Sheba Abayis Iska Merubin, the halacha is that we're allowed to change the Torah's precepts when it comes to the moments. That's why Shomer Chinam and Shomer Sachar can agree to be like a Shoyel. And so too, listen, according to Intero, Shvuah is defensive. But Chazal or Misaki, I'm Rabbi Avin, Aidei Sheba Abayis Asoka Merubin, because the employer, he has a lot of wheelings and dealings. Tiknu B'Sachar, so they made him a Takona. By an employee, Li Shav Avalito, they could take an oath and collect his wages. However, the Kavasor. However, there's a flip side to that. Similarly, now they made all the suppers, they went along. They made this up! But they are allowed to make this up because like Steer Khir says, Master Shoimachina Vishoyal, Shoikhishoyal, you can change the nature of Khoishin Mishpat. You don't have to go by specifically what the Torah says. So it says the Gemara, in other words, when does the employee have the right? This employee did not work in yeshivas. He didn't work in yeshiva. If he didn't make the claim on the day which his salary was supposed to be paid, he loses his right to collect with the sole credibility of a shvur. He'll have to bring Adam later on. But if yeshiva is supposed to pay January 1st, right, and then they don't pay, so then, according to this Gemara, the employee is only believed if there are witnesses that on the right day, on January 1st, you claimed for him. Once you made the claim on the right date, then you get infinite extension. Meaning, the credibility comes anytime you decide to take the shul. Okay? But you have to make the initial claim on the first available day. Okay? Says Moram, Rabbi Yosef, he says, not true. He argues. He says, it's either it's Rabbi Yosef, it's Namori, Ard, Rabbi Chi, and the Braisa. Okay? You find that over here. Ein lo ela, it should be connected, Osi Yom Bavadi. Only has corresponding that day. Rabbi said, when do you transgress Lo Soli? Do you remember when you transgressed Lo Soli? When do you transgress not paying wages on time? If God works for you today, when do you transgress? That night. If God works for you night, when do you transgress? Next day. So the Shai Tersol changes this Gemara to reflect that. Says Gemara, Rabbi Yonah Amar Yitzbal, Rabbi Yitzhak, Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Shlokish. Melos Rabbi Yitzhak, Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Shlokish. Chanina wants a Tava Bayoim. If he demands his wages today, Ein Lo Ela, it should be Laila. He only has a night. Meaning he can only his Nemonis ends that night. Okay, like Rabbi Yossi said, he's only got that wage period. Ein lo ela, I changed the word yom to Laila. Laila, if you work that night, ein lo ela yom, he's only got the next day, right? Again, the time limit when he's believed is the same time limit as which is the time frame in which he should be paid. Okay? He doesn't know this extension period of up to an entire year. Says the Gemara, the Charon Amar, the other said, Bishatavai, that even on that day, Bishatava, when is he believed against Babas? Bishatava Vamar Nasati. When you claimed against Babas, and he said, I already gave. On that, you can take a shvul, you lied, you didn't give, I take an oath, and that's it, he's got to pay you. Okay? However, Avli Omar Lo Etain, if he says to you, I'm going to pay you, well, I'm not paying you right now, I didn't pay you already, but I said, I'm going to pay you, so in that case I say, Chazoka Nosan, it's a Chazoka that he already gave. It's a fascinating thing. If a guy said, if the Baal Boss said, I'm going to pay you, so he we say Mistami is going to keep his word. It's interesting because the date he's not going to keep. That for him he's not. But if he promises, then that promise he'll keep. You see?
Yeah, so what's the time limit?
No time. What?
The next day?
Today he's going to pay him. But it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. In other words, since today, we assume today he's going to pay him, so the workers not believe the next day anymore. Because it's the overpowering assumption that he did pay on the first day.
Well, he's supposed to pay him on the first day anyway, so what's he saying? What's he accomplishing? He's saying, I'm going to pay him. He's supposed to do that anyway.
Yeah, so but Mara's saying that his verbalizing it gives it more strength in his eyes. Okay, so we don't need a shvua anymore. I don't understand why. And, you know, I'm sympathetic to your position on this matter. But that's not what it says, right? I'm not making it up. So that's what it says. We believe that he's going to give you. Set. I assume he said, I'm going to give you today. I'll give you today by the end of the day. So we believe him in that case. Okay? We believe the employer, right? And why it's going to come back to this in a few minutes. We didn't know who said what. If the work of the man is during the day, he only has that night. Lila, if he works during the night, he's got only the next day. Heavy, so since Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Baruch, and Erich Schlager said this, Heavy Esachina must say, Rabbi Esachina is the one who drew the economy, Domar Bishatovo, Domar Nesati, that the workers only believe to say, I already paid. Avalomar lo ete, but if the storekeeper said, I will give, Chazokanos, and then we give him Chazokan, they actually gave properly. Now, even though normally we say you only have the employer, only has the power of the shvua during that time, that immediate time, there's an exception to that rule. Now, I'm going to learn this more according to Beckhoffer, because I didn't like the way anybody else learned it. Okay? The big day sheish on Yerushalmi. So the way we're going to learn is like this. You pay my wages. The employer says, did I not say to you, that I'm going to pay that day? Nasati Yosayom, I paid that day, meaning the employer asked whether he could pay late. The employer says, I want my pay wages, and my pay day already passed. So the employer says, don't you remember I said I'll pay you not today, I don't have the money today, I'll pay you X day, right? And X day I paid you. So in that case, the lawyer is still believed. With the shvua, he's believed. Hi, X day was well after payday. And then how we said, the loiva's belief expires at the end of payday, right? It expires at the end of payday. Only has that day to make that claim. So says the Gemara, that day, Nasa Kmishu Esmo Nosin, Nasa Kmishu Esmo Nosin Lo Shir Echad. It becomes as if it's, it's like the guy claims he paid yesterday, that we give the employee one period of time, meaning, you know, a day and a night or a night and a day, to now be believed. It comes out much better if I say it outside. It's really very simple. I'm confusing you. The logic is like this. An employee has nemunus on the day of payday. Once the day of payday passes, he loses his nemunus. First of all, I'm going to say lose it because Chazal made that kind of that way, but there's logic to it. Logic is, Mistama employers pay on payday. So any time until the end of payday, the employee has the credibility to say, I wasn't paid yet. But by the end of the day, he loses that credibility. Okay? That's why if the employer said, attain, I'm going to give you later today, so then at that, the employee had better make him take his oath before the end of the day. Because the employer said, I will give you by the end of the day, so then, you know what, in that case, at the end of the day, the employee loses credibility. Okay? Now, it means like this. Anytime on the day of payday, the lawyer says, comes about, the employee comes, the employer says, pay me. Employer says, I paid you a rate. The employee says, no, you didn't. The employee is believed. And the employer has to prove that he already paid. If the employer says, I will pay you by the end of the day, so he's allowed to, because until the end of the day, he has time, right? And the end of the day, the employee better chapa rein the last moment and take his oath, because afterwards they're not believed, because I say, mistama, the employer paid. But what if the employer concedes? He says, listen, I know I didn't pay you payday. You know I didn't pay you payday, right? We made a deal. I told you I'd pay you in a week, right? And you agreed, and I paid you in a week. I paid you then. Then the employer doesn't have credibility. Because there's a chazaka, an employer pays on payday. But if the employer himself concedes he didn't pay on payday, he just claims that they came to an agreement, he better have proof that he had this different agreement. He better have a receipt that he actually paid the guy. That's what I'm saying. And therefore, if he claims that, then we look at it the same as if an employee says, oh, payday is today, I paid you already yesterday. What do we say to such an employer? Hogwash! You prove that you paid him yesterday. Because it's a chazok, you don't pay until payday. Ain't no pareb tochzmano. People don't pay within their time. So too, you say you paid, maybe it came an agreement that you're going to pay him later? Let's see the proof of that agreement. Okay, it's very logical. Just in, when it said it inside, it didn't come out right. Let me just read it again. So the grace like this, Tavo, he complained of Armor, he said, I told you, I'll pay a week later. I paid you a week later. Oso ayom, so says more that, I'm sorry, no, not, sorry, now, nasati oso ayom, says more, nasa kmishu esmo, it's as if he claims he paid the day before payday, no slow shirechon. The employee now has 24 hours, one time period, you know, day and night, in which he's believed, from now. In which the moment the employee says, oh, I paid you a different day, employer said, I paid you a different day, for that moment, it's as if it's payday all over again. He's got 24 hours of credibility to say he wasn't paid. The employer better show some proof of this. Okay? Well, whatever. Yoim, if you pay, yeah, up to 24, right? It's Yoim Vilayla, but it's 12 to 24. Depends when he finished the work, right? Finished work at the beginning of the day, is it's 12 to 23.5 seconds.
By the employer saying, I'm going to pay you next week, the clock stopped ticking until next week.
No. But that may be true, but this is not talking about now. It's talking about a week later, the employee comes.
Yeah.
In words, the clock.
Then the clock starts.
Right. Exactly. Okay? From the moment the employer concedes he didn't pay on payday, even though he claims he paid another day, right, and they agreed on that, since he has no proof of that, the employee now has 12 hours to 24 hours to go take a shul quickly and succeed in demanding payment. Okay? Now, it says more again, hiktim lo scholo. Same thing if the guy says, oh, I paid you early. Right? That's like, that's why I paid you early. Yeah, baloney, you paid early. No employer pays early, right? Bidor nishba v'noitel. Same thing. In this case, the employee takes a shvua and takes. Hoya mashkun biyodo. Let's say the bar boss, the bar boss didn't pay, and he said he gave a mashkun to the employee, right? So b'dor naita below shvua. It's like Rav Yochanan said before, the creditor is believed up to the value of the mashkun. Here too, the employee is believed without even a shvua. Hoya eved. What if the employee was an eved? That's interesting. This is a paid slave, right? That's like a yeshiva rebbe, you know, a paid slave. So he's a paid slave. So there's a paid slave, but he's not believed in the shvuah, because slaves are not believed with shvuahs. So, well, who takes the shvuah then? Right? So, we're saying it was there before. says him, Horei Eved, who based him mostly in Shul of Eved, does based him give a Shul to Eved? Or Horei Chashed, what if the employee was a lowlife? Suspect, a lie. Based him mostly in Shul of Chashed, does based him give him the Shul? So who actually makes a Shul in that case? Who acts a Shul? The Gemara doesn't say, but actually the employer has to take a Shul. Has to take a Shul that he already paid. In other words, even though we, that's what you said before, the Shul is always Ben Shneim. If one guy doesn't take it, the other guy takes it. So for some reason the employee can't take it because he's an Eved or a Choshut, then the employer takes the Shvu that he already paid.
And then what if the Eved turns out his money and says, ah.
Right. No.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, the Eved, it won't work. Yeah. So that's more. Choshut, what if they're both suspect, right? The employee and employer are lowlifes, right? If you look at the right mayor, so it's Machlokas, right mayor, Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi, and Machlokas. Hoyu shneim chashudim, they both suspect. Chasu shvulim koim adiv Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says, all right, so the shvul goes back to the Eved or to the chashud, right? And he has to take the shvul. Now, I'm not sure in that case, it's going to come up later on, and I actually didn't look it up in the Mishnah later on. Rabbi Yossi says the shvul goes back to the original guy. And I forget what happens then. Chazar Shmuel and Koyma. Oh, the Gemara is going to argue what it means on Lam Bavam Beis. The Shul goes back to the Eved or to the Chashan, but the Gemara is going to argue what that means. According to Meir, Meir says they divide up the money because since neither one can take a Shmuel, so therefore they have to divide it up. Now, Pshita, as the Gemara says, Poshin, Meis Ba'abais, Ba'abais does. Dies, Hasochin Nishbal Yorshav, then the employee takes an oath to the heirs of the Baal Bayis and collects. Vafil Meis Hasochir says the Gemara, even if the employee dies, Yorshav his heirs, Nishbarim Yorshav Baal Bayis his heirs, take an oath to the heirs of the Baal Bayis. Says the Gemara, Klum Tikla Besochir Shemra Biyorshav. I understand, did they make such a takona? They made such a takona by the employee, they make it by his Yorshim? And the Gemara doesn't answer that. The halacha is, in fact, though, that they did. Says the Gemara, the Gemara doesn't say anything here, but the Gemara is in fact that the halacha is that the Yorshim can take a shvuah to each other. Okay? Should I stop here? Yeah, okay, we'll stop here. I could do a few more lines, but Baruch Hu Nas. Okay.